Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. Second Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is giving the Corinthians some instruction. He's going to come by there and pick up an offering that they have already discussed about giving to the poor in Palestine. He says, verse 3, "Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. In this behalf that I said, that you may be ready." He sends the brethren, verse 5. He says, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness." But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, "He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. All that know you testify the truth to the truth of the words of the songs that we've just sang. You giveth and giveth and giveth again. Father, we thank you for giving the greatest gift in all the world, the gift of your blessed Son to become the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Lord, we thank you for the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you for giving us your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came, given power to lay down your life or not. You had that authority of the Father. You chose to do it because you loved us. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. And Lord, now because of all this, I can ask you to fill me with your Spirit. And help me, Father, to preach and teach the word to your church here this morning. Help my dear wife for laying the message in sign. Fill her with your Spirit. Help those in the nursery fill with thy Spirit as they watch the children. Father, thank you for the ministry of your word and your Spirit already in the children's Sunday school hour or the adult Sunday school hour. We thank you. Might we heed the things that we've heard and learned. Father, we thank you for this time of emphasis that we can focus upon missions, that we can have a part as you've called us and commanded us in the Great Commission as a church to give whatever you call us to give by faith, to walk with you and to call upon your name and know that you'll provide. Father, that not only we may know thee and grow in thee, Father, but that multitudes around the world may have the opportunity to receive your blessed Son and may know the riches that it is to be saved, and to know heaven is your home, and to know we can call upon your name at any time for anything that we need to glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, and bless us greatly this morning, we pray. Help us to be faithful to you, to love you more even as you have loved us. Help us make us more like your dear Son. Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message this morning, A Vision to Give to Missions. A Vision to Give to Missions. We as Bible believers, we love context. Context is everything in the Bible. You can prove anything you want out of the Bible if you want to just pluck a verse out of context. As I mentioned in introduction to this passage, this context here is not specifically talking about giving to missions. It's talking about the need at the time here was giving an offering to the poor. Verse 1 there, for as touching the ministry to the saints, that's what he's talking about. That money they were going to take from the area there in Greece and the other churches to the poor believers in Jerusalem. That's what he was talking about there. But I want you to see in this verse that God has given us license, I believe, within the context to expound that application. And you'd find that in verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. In other words, all those things he's talking about in this passage, that she always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to, what's it say? Three words. Every good work. Every good work. So any good work that God may call you to sacrifice and give in this manner too, everything that he says about God's faithfulness to that applies to every good work. It fits. And I don't know that I can think of a better good work than giving to missions. What do the poor need first? The poor need the gospel, amen? And I'm glad that we can give to missions and that we have that privilege. Verse 9 there says in the text, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. That is a quote from Psalm 112. I'd encourage you perhaps to read that maybe when you get home or maybe sometime later today. But there it's talking about a righteous man, a righteous person who walks with God. How the Spirit flows through them and they become a giver. God's a giver, isn't he? And when he puts his Spirit in us and we yield to him, we can't help but become a giver. By the way, God is not needy. God is not begging for your money or for my money or for your time or for my time or for your talents and my talents. What hast thou that God has not given you? And if God's given you everything, why do we boast as though he hasn't? No. Acts 17:25, he giveth to all life and breath and what? All things. He's given us everything. It belongs to him. We are simply stewards of what he's given us. We are to use it what? For his glory, for his will, in his time, for his purposes. See, when you're caring for someone else's stuff, you care for it and use it the way they want you to. It's not yours. That's what a steward does. And that's what we are to do with all that God pours into our life, our time, our talents, our treasures. They are his. They came from him. And he wants us simply to be a channel. We sing the song, make me a channel of blessing. We want his spirit to flow through us in that manner. The apostle Paul, who is writing this to encourage the church, himself practiced that, did he not? When he came by to receive the offering in Corinth, he and his team got ready to go and take it to Jerusalem. Because he wanted to get there quickly, he didn't stop by Ephesus. Him and his team stopped on the coast there at Miletus, and they called the elders of Ephesus to come because he wanted to talk to them a bit before he went on to Jerusalem. And there he said to them, I have showed you, I like that, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. That's where he was taking that offering to, the poor and the famine and stuff that was there. You ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said what? It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's a greater thing to give than to receive. That's true. And we learn that as we yield to the Spirit and he changes us in that respect, we realize that. What a blessed thing it is. It is to give. What Paul is saying is, I have taught you many things by the Word of God and by example that we are here to give our lives to others for Jesus' sake. That's why we're here. To give our lives to others for Jesus' sake. We talked about that in a message before. We can't help God. We can't make God better. He doesn't need any money. He says in one place, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. I own all the beasts. I'd just pluck one and take it. He said, I don't need anything from you. Only thing that we can do is give to others. And especially God's people. Because Jesus said, what, as much as you have done it unto one of what? The least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. David said, my goodness extendeth not to thee, O Lord, but what? But to the saints in the earth. If I want to give to you, God, I'll just be good to your saints. I'll witness to the lost and pray more than become saints, and then I'll be good to the saints. That's all I can do, because that's what you want me to do, God. I can't actually make you or help you and make you any better. As if you needed something from me. But God accepts that as love as we let him work through us and minister and give into lives of others our time, talents, and treasures. The churches in Macedonia, though poor, they gave greatly to this offering. And Paul, when he was speaking about that, he wrote in the chapter earlier here, he said how they had been an example in giving. He said, this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord unto us by the will of God. See, they had realized what we just spoke about. Well, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And if we're all dead, they which live should not what? henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, rose again. Amen. They got that. And they began giving of themselves. And you see, when you give of yourself, you know what you usually got? You know what God gets with you? He gets your wallet. He gets everything you are and everything you have when you give of yourself. And by the way, I'm glad that we can take, you know, that we can take cheap paper, which is what a dollar bill is. I mean, it's not even good paper, folks. We can take cheap paper and see it transformed into eternal riches. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God's a good God. And we give to missions. We're actually, in a sense, not giving. In a sense, we're investing. We're investing in eternity. We have a privilege to be able to give and invest in that. They gave. They first gave of their own selves. They did the Romans 12, 1, 2 thing. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, except, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the way, that's our reasonable service. We haven't gone above and beyond when we've done that. That's our reasonable service. Giving. Think about how God gave. Oh, that blessed verse, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. I think of John 6:51, how Jesus told the actually unbelieving crowd, he just fed them, the 5,000, with the loaves of bread and such, and they followed him around and still didn't believe. When they catch up to him, he teaches them again, John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat, now think of how he gave of himself. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, folks, that's giving. You know, the Catholics have mistakenly taken those things literally, you know, and say that we eat the flesh of Christ and we, you know, the elements at communion turn into his blood and turn into his, and we literally eat him. No, that's not what he's talking about there. That's a picture of his sacrifice. But when I think, when he says, I give my flesh, his flesh was literally torn. Literally, he was torn up. Scourging often was left people a hideous mess to look at. Many times their insides would be coming out from the scourging. And by the way, those Roman soldiers were pros at that. They knew just when to stop, so they didn't want to kill him because they needed to suffer on the cross. And you know, just how far they could go. That's how he gave. And by the way, we saw in our study in Colossians on Wednesday, he is the greatest riches, isn't he? Jesus Christ himself. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, that's our father, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hey, he gave us the best. And the most valuable gift ever, when Jesus Christ, his son, died on that cross over 2,000 years ago now. And for 2 Peter 1:3, according as his, God's divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given us all these things. 2 Corinthians 8:9, the previous chapter. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Christ did that for you and I. We were out visiting yesterday and we spoke to a lady who would have been a very good poster child for the New Age movement. She was telling us what she believed, and I says, I understand what you believe. That's the New Age movement. And she said, no, that's not. She believed all religions, you know, the best of all religions is really the path. She liked the example that Jesus set and thought that was a good example to follow too. The sad part was that this person had a Methodist background and said, yeah, Christianity is a part of it. She was kind of clinging to Buddhism at the time, and that's what was working for her. Somebody forgot to teach her, or she forgot to learn what was taught. Christ wasn't just an example. He was the very sacrifice for our sins. Yes, he was an example, absolutely, for us to follow. But he was not only an example. He was much more than an example. He was what? The one sacrifice for sins forever. The only one that we can go to and be cleansed of our sin, and then look at God and know that he, because if we came to Christ, he can look at it as righteous. He's the only one. He's not a force or a power, which they spoke of in which she mentioned that, and they speak of in the New Age. No, he's a person. Right. He is a powerful person. He's God incarnate. And we're learning about that. Oh, how we need him. God's practice in the world. A vision for mission sees God's... I guess I could put the outline up there. The vision for mission sees God's practice in the world. And then number two, a vision for mission will see God's purpose for our work. Verse 7, every man according as he purposes it in his heart, so let him give. What's he saying there? Give on purpose. Do you know how Jesus died for you and me? On purpose. He purposed to do that. The Bible says when the time came, he set his face as a flint to Jerusalem. Remember that? Saying, I will not be deterred. I will accomplish this. And what drove him was his love for you and his love for me and his love for the Father. That's what drove him. He was purposed to that. That's part of our work. We work so we can give. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, why do you think God would want us to do that? Because he's more concerned. You see, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, and they might what? Have life more abundantly. Praise God! You'll get life the moment you trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior, repenting of your sins and repenting toward God, sorry for your sins, recognizing you're on your way to hell, and then faith toward Jesus Christ, asking Jesus Christ to forgive you, save you, believing he's the Son of God. He died, buried, rose again. Life! Born again! But God's not done. He wants you and I to have abundant life. And you now will never know abundant life unless we learn to give. The world measures a man's bank account by the deposits he makes. Spiritually, many times, our life is measured by the checks we write. Amen. God knows how much he's poured into our life, and he knows where we send that out. If we're sending it out as he directs, or if we're just doing it out under our own discernment and our own wisdom, he knows those things. If he that stole, steal no more, work so he can have to give. I suppose if an ex-thief is encouraged to work so he can give, that'd probably work for you and I too, huh? That we'd have to give whatever God calls us to give. There's no question as to whether we ought to give or not. The question is what? How much, God, and where? And to whom? That's the only question. And God will show us. He'll guide us and direct us. I think of Jesus as those people were putting in the offering and he was watching them. He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, Luke 21:1. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her penury or poverty hath cast in all the living she had. You see, God not only knows what we give, he knows what we have left over. He knows what we keep. And we can be blessed to give. Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote that. He was a little melancholy, I think, when he wrote that. And I'm going to think for a while about how life would be if under the heaven, let's just put a ceiling on heaven right now and look at life how it is on this earth. Or how it might be without thinking about God, in a sense. Ecclesiastes 6:7, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. Some of you ate this morning, you maybe eat when you get home. And guess what? You might be hungry now, and you'll be filled for a little bit when you get home, but you'll be hungry tomorrow. And then you'll be hungry again. You'll have to eat some more, and you'll be filled for a little while. Then you'll be hungry again, and it's just it's like this life. It's a vicious circle that never seems to be satisfied. No wonder that woman said to Jesus, give me this water that I come not here to thirst. She had to go there every day. And you know, that's the way it is if we look at things in the flesh. But we realize the spiritual value that God puts on everything, and we don't forget about heaven, it's quite different. Quite different when we learn to give to others. It's not that vanity thing. I mean, we see this even in nature. Try taking a cub away from a mother bear. See if she doesn't know something about living for others. God put that in her nature, in her instinct, see. And we also can learn. We learn by the Spirit. We don't have instinct like the animals do, but we have something better. We have the Spirit of God. He will direct us to give sacrificially even to others as he directs us to certain needs. God's purpose for our work, certainly. He wants us to give. And then thirdly, we see that God, a vision to give to mission, sees that God is pleased in his word. God is pleased in his word. Look at verse 7. Every man according to the purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Here it is. What? For God loveth a cheerful giver. I like that. God loves a what? Cheerful giver. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Oh, that preacher. He always preaches on giving. I know. There's probably some people that stay out of church, you know, or they go to their church hopping all the time, and God knows that. So every time they go to church, that's the one time, you know, that year almost that the preacher preached on giving, you know, and they're just getting it. You know, you just wonder. God loveth the cheerful giver. Isn't it wonderful to know you can do something God loves? And that God does that through us? Amen. I think of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:15 as he thought about how the Spirit was working in him to minister to those believers. He said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's the fullness of the Spirit, folks. He didn't just say, I'll spend for you. He said, I'll spend and be spent for you. He didn't just say that. He said, I'll gladly spend and be spent for you. He didn't just say that. He said, I'll very gladly spend and be spent for you. Now, folks, that's a cheerful giver, amen? And by the way, the Holy Spirit in him is no different than the Holy Spirit in you and I. He's the same one, amen? He's the same one. Jesus gave himself willingly. John 10:18, no man taketh it from me, that's my life, but I lay it down of myself. He says, my Father and I have discussed this in ways we can't understand. But he says, I have the authority to do that, and that's my choice. There's nothing he ever wanted to do more than the Father's will. having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. He did very gladly for us what he did. And he calls us to give as he directs. Move along here. Fourthly, a vision to give to mission sees God's provision for the way. Look at verse 8 there. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, I like that. Always all sufficiency, all things, may abound to every good work. You know what God's saying? As I call you to give your time and talents and treasures to a certain ministry, cause, or people, whatever it might be, I will provide that strength. And when I call you to give to another, I will provide that. And when I call you to give to another, I will provide that. As long as you are being a channel of my blessings, I will flow through you. But don't become the Dead Sea. How much life is in the Dead Sea? Not much. And you know why? Because nothing's flowing out. Nothing's flowing out. And our Christian life becomes stagnant unless we are givers of our time, talents, and treasures as God calls us to be. God's provision for the way. He will provide. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. James Hudson Taylor was a British Protestant Christian missionary to China, founder of the China Inland Missions. He spent 51 years in China. The society he began was responsible for bringing over 800 missionaries to the country. He began 125 schools and directly resulted in 18,000 conversions that they'd recorded, folks becoming Christians, as well as the establishment of more than 300 stations of work with more than 500 local helpers in all 18 provinces. Taylor was known for his sensitivity to the Chinese culture and the people, his zeal for evangelism. He adopted wearing native Chinese clothing. Some of you can remember the pictures they have of him with his hair and the cut here and then the kind of little gathered together in the back there. But to the things of the culture, he adopted those things that was rare among missionaries at that time. But he had complete trust in God's faithfulness. In his journal he wrote, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China. But if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. And he says this, quote, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Isn't that true? It's the goodness of God that he doesn't give us more than we have, because right now if we had more than we have, we probably wouldn't be able to handle it. And we become disobedient in some God and sacrifice spiritual blessings which are far more valuable. I'm glad he oversees those things. The Great Commission is not open to consideration. It's a command, isn't it? It's a command to be obeyed. So God's provision for the way he'll provide. It's amazing how God can provide our needs. So many ways that we don't think. We think of those children of Israel in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out. Quails, you know, flying low enough they could smack them on the head, you know, and have quail for dinner, you know. Water out of the rock. An amazing thing. We all have things that, I love things that you buy and it seems like they last forever, you know. There was a time, I think, when I really looked forward to something new. Now it's like, I wonder how long this will last, you know. Twinkies, yeah. They last for eternity, don't they? I think my wife and I, we've been here for 23 years now in Oregon. We're on our third refrigerator, our second stove. But listen to this, praise God. Same microwave. Came out here, our adult Sunday school class bought it for us for a present. Didn't take it out of the box, opened it up, love it. Same microwave, works perfectly. 1 year after we were here, 22 years or so ago, we bought our first washer and dryer. Same one, hallelujah, it's the same one. Now my wife has to carry 5 gallon buckets and fill it and use the crank on. No, I'm just kidding. Not that bad. Same one, still running. Yeah, it's got one little quirk. The shutoff doesn't work on the washer, so if you lift the lid up, it keeps going around. We told several people that, and some of you may remember Brother Stan, who came here for a while. He worked on appliances and stuff, and I was telling him that on the phone. I heard a pause. He says, "Well, don't just stick your hand in there while the lid's up." You know? Two people said that. Well, a great big pause is, "Well, don't stick your hand in there while the lid's up." I'm not planning on, but it works fine. Works fine. We bought a central heating and air unit for our house. The one we bought, the company that we bought it from said it was too small. We ought to get a bigger one. They estimated a window unit to put in our house right now. They said this would be good. And the central thing was just a little bit more, but they recommended you get something bigger if you want to use that. They said that's will be good. It was a Coleman. 23 years. Not a problem. Father might have had a problem one time. They came out and checked the freon. That was fine. It was just an extra hot summer. And I'm telling you, see, God can give in ways we won't recognize if we don't think about it and pray about it. Amen. I'm so glad we have. Now we have to replace maybe those things sometime. We bought a Nissan. Years ago, we bought a Nissan Sentra for her. And Nissan has a class action suit against them for their CVT engines, their remote transmissions, because of them breaking down. So we bought that CVT transmission with this one we got the same year. We bought one, my other car started wearing it. We bought that CVT transmission. We bought that car with 20,000 miles on it. My wife put over 100,000 miles on it, not into the repair shop once. And by the way, we didn't keep up on the regular maintenance of it. Never went in and had any fluid change, nothing. Never changed a bulb in the thing. It had an electrical quirk that when we first bought it, but they ended up covering that under the warranty. After they fixed that, nothing.
I mean, that's why we actually bought another one, because it's like, well, this thing's great. You know, I mean, there's another one for sale. We'll get that one. The other car broke.
I don't know what God will do, but if that breaks, he'll provide something if it breaks down anyway. Amen. But I'm just, how God cares, how he provides. God's provision for the way. Many of you can think of miraculous ways in God's provided for you. I think of Brother Bernard, the building he's in,
the lease provided for by somebody with some wealth. Well, I can't meet in that building. Yes, you can, because I'm going to help you pay for it. The car he's driving. I can't afford that car. You think it's a 2010. Somebody with money bought it for him brand new. It's some kind of a 7-passenger SUV. Been using it. God moved somebody's heart to buy that for him.
God can work these things out. And then finally, we see a vision for mission. We'll see God's providence over our wealth. Look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He that ministereth seed to the sower will minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see, God is able to bless us. God watches over us. He is the one who presides over what comes into your life and into my life. I think about that. Daniel 4. Daniel said that the kings of Babylon there needed to learn this lesson, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Did you get that? I suppose if God can make whoever he wants to be president or whoever wants to be king, I suppose he can make sure I got something to eat tonight. What do you think? I suppose he can provide what we need if he rules in that way. I suppose he can. He can. And by the way, just as he can provide, the Lord giveth, the Lord what? Taketh away. He can take it away too. Someone with a vision for missions sees God's providence over our wealth. He gives us his stuff to use for what? His glory and his purposes. I think about Isaac when he went into the land. Bible says in Genesis 26:12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. 100-fold.
That's a lot. That's not 100%. That's 100-fold. See, if you invest $5 in something and you get $5 back, you just got 100% return. But if you invest $5 in something and you get $500 back, now you've got 100-fold. In 1 year. That's quite a blessing.
He was a happy farmer out here, I'll tell you that. He was probably
legitimately building some bigger barns, unlike the rich man, you know, in Luke.
But then Haggai tells God speaking to... he's speaking God's word to his people. God's speaking through Haggai to his people. They weren't in obedience. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat and buy and have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You can't get enough to drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. I'm working, 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 work, and just can't seem to save any money. I can't go to church on Sunday. I got to work 7 days a week. That's one of your problems right there. When you ignore God's commands, it's like trying to work with a bunch and put your money into a bag with a bunch of holes in it. Because God's trying to get you not to realize things that are greater than money. And that we can spend our money for. See, he wants us to have that abundant life and just to give what he'd have us to give. I was thinking about this and just close with this thought. The Norris family are there on the, I was looking at their schedule, they're on the North Coast, or North Coast, in North Carolina right now on deputation. And I don't know if they got any snow over there yet or not, but they'll be in Canada. Sister Lindsay's not, you know, she might be in the nursery now here this morning, but they'll be in Canada next week. But I was thinking about the U.S. here. The average income in the United States right now, the average income is $63,000 a year. $63,000 a year. The median income, say, what's the median?
Well, if you take an income that people make, half the people in the country are above that, and half the people in the country are below that. That's what the median means.
Median income is $5,250 a year. Quite a bit difference. Average, $63,000 a year in Mozambique. In Mozambique, I'm sorry. In Mozambique, it's let's see, where is it? The average income is $440 a year, $37 a month. Around the world, the average income is $9,700 a year. The median income is $800 a month. Half people living above that, half people living below that. If we get the picture, folks, we're rich. We live in a rich nation. The poorest in our land are better off than many that are working multiple jobs in other lands, or trying to get by from day to day, subsistence living. God has blessed us with so much. And I think one of the reasons that we still know blessings as a nation is because we give to missions. And because we're friends of Israel. I think that's one of the reasons why we haven't seen God's wrath come, for which we do deserve, for the governmental decisions that have been made through our laws and abortion and life and such things like that. But folks, I'm thankful that I can give to something eternal and that we can give together. And once again, I love missions time of the year. Missionaries, they just they light my fire, and they encourage me, and they challenge me regarding faith and regarding being faithful. Amen. And I'm always so thankful we can have them in, and we'll continue to pray and just do what God would have us to do and as He directs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your church. God, You've been so good to us. And Lord, You have given us of the greatest riches, your blessed Son. And Father, we thank You for salvation in Christ Jesus. And Father, yet we have at even greater opportunities than that. You have poured out upon us even more, so much material wealth and blessings in this land and opportunities. And I thank You, dear God, that You have given us and brought into our path faithful missionaries. And You have also given us opportunity, dear Heavenly Father, year after year, to call upon Your name as to what You'd have us to give. Father, we've done that, and You've provided. And Father, we thank You for that. We thank You for that once again. And once again, Lord, as we call upon Your name, show each of us just what You'd have us to give. You said You consider it according to that a man hath and not that he hath not. You know that some of us can give more, some of us can't give quite so much. You look more at the percentage and what our situation is in those things. You know the heart. You know our motives. Help us to pray about what you'd have us to give, and then to give that gladly, not of necessity because we feel we have to, but just a cheerful giver, knowing that we've prayed, you've provided, and as best we know, Father, this is what you'd have us to trust you for and give in the coming year. Father, bless each one as we seek your face in that. We pray you'd be glorified, and that world missions, Father, would be supported through that which you have already given us, that we just give it out as you direct by your Spirit. Thank you. Bless your people. Guide us in these things. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.